Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Did I leave one out? Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to my brain.
VSiN.com.
However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. That is Kalei Bidelon. That's where you can follow him on Twitter. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Still to come this hour, we'll talk fantasy football, fantasy, with Todd Wright. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball postseason. And then, oh, wait a minute, did I bury the headline? Are we doing a little college football guessing lines with Kelly Bidlin?
That's right, we are.
Oh, yeah. Kelly Bidley. Have you been keeping track? How'd you do last week?
Bad week. One and two.
One and two. Bad week.
Yeah. And even Bet Pitt.
Just want to get through a few of these tweets here because people are really concerned about you. Evan Klein, breaking news, the Jets have signed Jordy Nelson. Was that who you were thinking of, Jordy Nelson?
That's exactly who I was thinking of, yes. But like as we just talked about during the break, there's like four other names you could bring up.
Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all there. Larry Fresh, we need to stop tweeting about Seager before you guys get demoted back to the barrage. That's very true. Tristan Ball.
I would prefer some Seager out here, though. We got the club music that's always blasting here at Sir.
Tristan Paul, NFL, no flags left, he says, after last night's game. Jesse Welch, if we had just avoided tomatoes instead of taking ayahuasca, that's got to be a top ANG quote of the year. Primetime, yo. So have the bosses at VSiN also sent out emails reprimanded Kelly for loud and obnoxious typing in your new friendly confines? And what about those arms flapping when he walks into a building? Blatant censorship of his personal liberty.
That's right. No. And nobody at this business has commented on my loud typing or complained about it. Maybe at past jobs they have, though.
Oh, I've complained about it rampantly. It's very loud. Motor City Mike. Hey, Motor City Mike, got to hear from you again. I believe Goff is a good bet for MVP right now. He's been playing great, and with Hutch gone, more points will be needed. If the Lions finish first in the NFC, somebody's winning an award in Detroit. Also, please talk about Defensive Player of the Year. Should be some value now. What about Defensive Player of the Year?
Let's see. We've got TJ Watt at even money these days.
Yeah, like if he keeps poking out footballs, you know, multiple times a game, it's absolutely... He's clearly the Defensive Player of the Year right now, right?
Yeah.
Who's the second shortest shot behind him?
Let me just make note of that. If player A keeps poking out footballs multiple times a game...
Because he did it twice against the Raiders. And by the way, one at the one-yard line.
Multiple forced fumbles a game will get you hope.
Will Anderson had 3 sacks, I believe, this past weekend. He's plus 450.
Yeah, he jumped.
And then there's Chris Joneses and Nick Bosa's of the world. Your standard fare at 6-1. Oh, look at Sexy Dexter got in there at plus 750. Sexy Dexy calls himself. Dexter Lawrence of the Giants is plus 750. And then Max Crosby, who's running things in Oakland, 9-1. Everybody else, double digits.
I feel like I haven't looked at this market in 4 years. Because of the excellent pass rushers that have been at the top.
Well, this has been the Watt/Parsons/Bosa award, right? They've always been at the top. And I think this is TJ Watt's year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
There you go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Will Hill. But he wants you to know he's not that Will Hill. What is his Twitter? Not the Will Hill, with 2 E's on the V.
That's right.
It's Will Hill, everybody, a star of the Megapod, and of course also the Bear Bets Pod that Chris Felica does over there, his empire at Fox Sports, and of course his own podcast, Should Have Bet More. Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's up, Willie?
Gilly, Kelly, what's going on, guys? It's funny. I love betting these awards as much as I love betting them. For some reason, Defensive Player of the Year, it just doesn't appeal to me. I never feel like I have a feel. I feel like I never have opinion. So I have lots of bets in these awards markets. Defensive Player of the Year is just never one of them. And you mentioned Todd Wright coming up. I listen to every minute of every show. My fantasy football season not going well. I might have to tune out for that segment because I always feel like I do something wrong. I feel like I'm being scolded the entire time for not having a better draft. It's like, who should I pick up? Well, you should already have your reserves in place. You should have drafted better. I feel like I did something wrong.
Oh, man. That's great.
Well, stick around and find out.
I have nothing to add. Let me say this about, because we didn't get to Coach of the Year. And somebody brought this up, and correctly so. Why is it that we don't ever talk about Manager of the Year? Because you can bet that, right? Manager of the Year in baseball. Why is it? That would seem like something that we should talk about more. Yes?
Yeah, I don't think those markets are just as available as Coach of the Year, because I'm going through these books and these odds all the time. I very rarely see Manager of the Year, so I guess it's
well, FanDuel
a matter of availability.
I think you bet it at like three spots.
FanDuel had it, which is big enough to talk about, I guess, right?
And then the new one, Assistant Coach of the Year in the NFL, which our buddy the Bear, I think, has mentioned. He's got a pretty good price on Flores at, like, I don't know, 40-1 or something. Man, missed the boat on that one. I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, but who's got that available?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Who's got that available?
Anyone? FanDuel.
FanDuel does as well? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Coach of the Year.
If you bet it, they will come.
Coach of the Year in the NFL, Kevin O'Connell, +140 is the short shot. Dan Quinn of the DC Skins, 4-1. Then it's Jim Harbaugh, +550. Everybody else is double digits. And remember the Cleve parameters for these. Is there somebody else? Mike McDonald all the way back down to 20-1 now.
How's there that big of a separation between O'Connell and Quinn at this point? Like, I know they're undefeated, but...
There shouldn't be. But I guess with O'Connell, you can say he's coached up Sam Darnold. With Dan Quinn, you can say he was gifted this amazing Jaden Daniels. He's not an offensive coach, right? He's a defensive guy. And their defense, how can I put this, sucks.
No good.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
So there's that. And then Harbaugh just gets there because he's Jim Harbaugh, I suppose. Any thoughts on that market at all, Will?
I mean, I wouldn't be betting the short shot with this much time left. I remember this time last year, Mike McDaniel was reinventing offensive football, and he was absolutely going to win. He was the short shot, and you know, I don't even think he came close. Andy Reid, is that 20-1 I see? I mean, usually you win this by, you know, the Brian Daboll, you overachieve, you do more with less. But we've seen Belichick win this at 16-0. I think John Harbaugh won this. That year they went like 14-2. So you could also win this with sheer dominance. If the Chiefs can put up, I don't know, a 15-2, 14-3 season, and there's, I mean, it's probably going to be O'Connell, but I don't know. I don't mind taking a stab here at Andy Reid at 20-1.
But you're right. It would have to be some ridiculous record for Andy Reid to be involved in this, because otherwise he doesn't meet the tried and true parameters of this. All right. Because I want to get to baseball. Anything week 7 that you've bet so far?
Not spreads. I did bet Jets +650 to win the division, because I hate myself, I think, is the biggest reason.
Okay,
but
sure.
I saw +700 at DraftKings. I went shop around. Oh, maybe there's a better number, which is a good exercise to do. Shop around, look for the best number. By the time I got to it, it's +650. So I grabbed it. Here's the case for it. They add Adams. Hassan Reddick hired Drew Rosenhaus to be his agent. They're talking with the Jets. He said those negotiations are going well. I would think the Jets are desperate enough to not only figure out a way to bring Reddick in, but as Drew alluded to, this is it. Everyone's going to be out. I mean, it's going to be a whole new regime next year if this goes the way it's going now. So could there be another trade? I don't know that they do business with the Raiders, but like, if you're the Raiders, you're probably going to tear it down and listen to offers for Mason Crosby, Max Crosby. You got me thinking old Green Bay Packers, so I was thinking Mason Crosby. But I think there could be another trade. I think they could get Reddick done. And the Bills still play the 49ers. They still play the Chiefs. They still play the Lions. They still have a running quarterback that, hey, one hit and Allen's out for 2 or 3 weeks. It opens things up. So, again, do I think this bet's going to go home? But I get home, not necessarily. But at +650, I took a shot. And I guess it's better to feel pain than to feel nothing at all.
Well, I'll tell you what you don't hate yourself about. You famously have a World Series matchup that is a Subway Series. How many times did you bet this and at what numbers?
A few. I mean, I gave it out at your show 30-1. I've discussed it on my podcast a few times, but I gave it out, I think it was 2 weeks ago today when the wild card round was just about to start. And I was like, I got a sense the Mets have a little magic in them. I thought the bracket broke nicely for the Yankees. So I took a shot again at 30-1, but I bet them several times and I'm 6 wins away here. So counting down the wins, this has been an incredible run. Playoff too.
Oh, great. What could go wrong? 6 wins away. Let's go. Am I rooting for you? I'm not really rooting for you.
Sure.
I am as a friend, but I just don't want to see the Yankees in it. What about tonight's game? The Yankees, it's Gerrit Cole against Bibee. The Yankees are -170. I only can imagine that this will get bet up even further between now and first pitch tonight. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong about that. We're showing -175 already now. So this is higher than it was from the beginning of the show. We're getting a little ridiculous on this. Like, I mean, this feels to me like Yankees postseasons of the past. Whenever the Yankees get far, and they often do, right? They've lost a lot of championship series in a row here now.
Yes.
The lines are just a little too inflated for actual reflection of what it should be, in my opinion. Is this one of those games?
Probably the case. That being said, I do think the Yankees probably win tonight. I haven't bet it. I think the Yankees have found something with this back of the bullpen. Weaver's been tremendous. Holmes has kind of gotten himself back on track. That's not a sentence that, hey, I felt good with Holmes and Weaver at the end of these games. That's not a sentence you would have said, you know, 6 weeks ago. And the Yankees, the scary thing for Cleveland here, the Yankees haven't hit yet with runners in scoring position. They were 0-7 last night. I thought Vogt did a bad job. I know he's playing the matchups lefty versus lefty, but that kid's never appeared in a postseason game. And you're going to bring him in, bases loaded, Yankee Stadium, the place go nuts. I did not like that move from a Cleveland perspective. If I had to bet anything, I'm waiting for Tanner Bibee out under, because I think a couple things. He got pulled with a shutout game one against the Tigers with 75 pitches. And this is it for Cleveland. I don't think you can really beat the Yankees 4 out of 5. I think you need to win this game. And they had Sunday off. They didn't use any of their big relievers on Monday. They have Wednesday off. So I don't know. If you get like 4 good innings, I think you start marching out reliever after reliever. Maybe you try and get 6 outs from Class A and some of these other guys. So I think they'll be Bibee will be on a very short hook, maybe under outs, maybe under hits. I think this is a must-have game for Cleveland here. Bibee's good. But look, I think this is the Yankees. I think a team we haven't talked about in these playoffs that's making its mark is the White Sox, because Kansas City went 12-1 against the White Sox, under 500 against the rest of the league. Detroit went 10-3 against the White Sox, not very good against the rest of the league. Ironically, Cleveland was only 8-5, but yeah. I think the Central got 3 teams in because everyone was just beating up on the White Sox, and it's kind of watered down the playoff pool here.
We talked about how we were 1 out away from hitting Cleveland in March, April. Cleveland's record against the White Sox and Rockies in May cost us Cleveland in May.
Amazing.
Yeah. Real quick, tomorrow, Dodgers-Mets, Game 3, Bueller, Severino. It's basically a coin flip. Who you got?
I like the Mets. Bueller's been awful.
He has been. No question. All right. Good luck. Subway Series, just 6 games away for Willie. Check out Will again. Should Have Bet More, the name of his podcast, wherever podcasts are disseminated. Thank you, sir.
All right, to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Todd Wright, Fantasy. Will will be listening. That's next. What about Devontae? What about Garrett Wilson? All that and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season is 1 week away. The old baloncesto. Ready to tip off? VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as little as $9.99 for your first month and get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring previews and power ratings on all 30 teams, best bets and futures from the VSiN experts, player prop live betting strategies, plus senior NBA analyst JVT's favorite, title bets. So much drama in Philly. We got to get Kelly's take on that a little later on. Mm. Give yourself an edge this season. Get NBA betting guide. Get the NBA betting guide along with access to all our valuable betting tools across all sports for just $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Old crew of ANG. Closet sports guy calls himself the old crew of ANG. He says, he's over at the D. He sent us a picture. He said, a picture of Sigma Derby at 8:07 a.m. today. Currently no Bob Seger playing, but they're blasting First Take. Crew in the closet. Miss y'all. I'll miss you too, man. The crew is still in the closet.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe right now.
Keep it
shout
in the closet.
Out Matt Hicks, Larry Mir. I don't know who else is over there.
Matt,
Sean,
you know Larry. You know McCollum whenever he's there.
Yeah. I don't know. He had been filling in here. So
Randy Rodriguez, best valet in the biz. Martin Bernstein says he's got the Mets versus the Yankees at 80-1. He's got the Mets NL champ at 75-1. He's got the Mets World Series title at 150-1. And he's a diehard Cubs fan. There you go, Martin Bernstein.
Nice.
And then James Sott said, everyone played the White Sox, though, the same amount of time this year. It was not the unbalanced schedule. You are correct. It was not an unbalanced schedule. Just the individual win-loss records per team. Let's talk some fantasy, ladies and gentlemen. He's the greatest sports talk radio host there ever was. I will not be debated on this subject. I was the host of All Night with Todd Wright back in the day, currently doing a Survivor podcast, the Todd Wright Survivor podcast, and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it is Todd Wright. How you doing, Todd?
Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kelly.
First, before we talk fantasy, you are a resident of the Tampa area. We're glad that you are doing okay. Can you explain to us your whole Hurricane Milton experience?
Worst I've been through, and I've been here most of my life, childhood, and then went off to college at the University of Miami, came back. Guys, it was awful. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but at the height of the storm here, and I'm fortunate, while I have new challenges every day, more fortunate than some of my neighbors. Just imagine the walls closing in, but beyond that, it's the weather closing in the walls. I mean, that was the intensity of what was going on at the time, at the height of this. On Wednesday night, we were on. Here's the odd part, Gil. When you're on the north side of a storm like this, it's the majority of the weather. But the odd part is it pushes water away in terms of the bay and some of the surge. So some of that was fortunate, but it was the power of the storm. Obviously, you've all seen what it did to some of our sporting venues in the greater Tampa Bay area. But Gil, Kelly, I don't want to go through this anymore. I think 50 years is enough, and I'm starting to evaluate heading to some higher ground.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not? How can you not have that thought sort of enter your mind? Glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Hope everyone that is near and dear to you is okay as well, and to everybody in that area. Obviously, we hope that you got through it as best as possible. No artful segue, but let's talk some fantasy. The news of the morning, Todd, is that Davante Adams has been traded, as most suspected he would be, to the New York Jets. And so my question to you is twofold, but I'm more interested in the second part of this, which is obviously for Davante Adams owners, is this like the greatest day ever? Or is he a guy that might be past his prime and it's not going to be as great? But the Garrett Wilson impact is also interesting to me. What's your read on that?
I think it's trickled down even to Alan Lazard, who's kind of been a fallback guy that some people have been able to plug and play. He's been out there on waivers. People pick him up and then they may cut him or whatever. So I think Lazard is less of an option now because Adams, I think, will immediately pay dividends. He was wherever he was going to go, but now he's back with Aaron Rodgers, who's always loyal to certain people around him. We've seen this even in the Randall Cobb days, and we've seen it with Alan Lazard as well. I think it does affect Garrett Wilson a bit. I mean, you're not trading away Garrett Wilson because Adams is there, but Adams will immediately command attention from Rodgers, and he's going to get a lot of red zone looks. So there's a trickle down effect there. So if you stuck this out with Davante Adams, you didn't make a trade trying to get a lot in return now, enjoy what you're going to get. It might not happen immediately against the Steelers, but it will happen quickly.
I'm gonna throw some ground balls here at you and see what comes back. Let's talk about Let's talk about guys that could be sell high candidates. Cooper Kupp, his sort of status injured with the Los Angeles Rams. Justin Fields, just from his playing on the field, is he a sell high candidate? Do those names or any others that stick out to you as guys that if you're the owner of, you might think about, well, maybe this is an opportunity for me?
I am fully invested in Cooper Kupp and was this year, drafted him in early rounds, loved what I got in the first game, and then he gets injured in the second game. Look, if he comes back, I mean, predicting another injury is difficult. And I know he's been out a lot of games and recently, but Gil, I'm just plugging him right back in the lineup because the Rams need him. McVay will call his number. Stafford probably feels as good about Kupp as an Aaron Rodgers does throwing to a Davante Adams. So unless you can get a wide receiver one guaranteed return, then no, you just plug Kupp in. Fields is interesting to me, and I've tinkered with this. I've already traded him once this year because he was my backup quarterback to try to get some running back help, but he just sits out there on waivers in a lot of leagues because a lot of leagues don't choose to carry a backup quarterback. To me, Fields right now is the ultimate backup quarterback because it's kind of week to week with him because Russell's just sitting there. If the Steelers hit a losing streak, or Fields makes a lot of mistakes in a game that contribute to a losing streak. But to me, he just strikes me as a backup quarterback. If you can get, like I did a few weeks ago, a starting running back in return. But Gil, in fantasy football, it's tough to trade quarterbacks for some reason. You can trade running backs, you can trade wide receivers, but it's tough to trade quarterbacks for whatever reason, because other owners kind of feel they can always get one. They are more available unless you're obviously trying to trade, a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen type.
All right, let's continue with some of them. First of all, Anthony Richardson, what do you do with him if you're an owner of him?
Shouldn't have drafted him in the first place. I mean, look, we know the guy is a freak athlete talent, but we've seen the inaccuracy. There's almost an arrogance there against the learning curve. I think from just a wagering standpoint, even this week, I'd feel a lot better, and I did a lot better about the Colts beating the Titans with Flacco than I would with Richardson. I didn't like Richardson coming into the year. I think most people liked him more last year, coming out as a rookie. He just took such a punishment. So if you're still sitting on him at this point and you can move him for something, great, but I don't really see you playing him. Or if you're just sitting on him, you're kind of waiting to see him grow up overnight. And Gil, in this league, that just doesn't happen.
All right, rapid fire, last three questions, two of which are fantasy, one is Survivor. The last two, fantasy. Speaking of running backs, Ray Davis of the Bills, Sean Tucker of the Bucks, Isaac Garendo of the Niners, Kamani Vidal of the Chargers. Rank those, if they're available in a league, all four of those guys, rank them in terms of your desire to pick them up for me.
You kind of did it. I mean, and Gil, rather than rank, you kind of look at who they're stepping in for and the projections on how long they're going to be out. I'll admit, in one of my leagues, I own James Cook, and I made the wrong call to pick the wrong back who actually started the game for Buffalo, but I wish I had Davis. It's not like the guy who started the game did anything wrong. He just wasn't as good. There wasn't a burst. The coaching staff clearly wanted to get Davis more involved, and he did everything to justify how much he was used in winning that football game. So I think just kind of the way you talked about them, but it reflects on how long you think the guy they're behind is going to be out.
Drake May, pretty serviceable in his first game. Are there any Patriots, DeMario Douglas, Kayshawn Boutte, Jalen Polk, anybody worth picking up?
No, I mean, the Patriots all year to me have been Ramondre or no Ramondre. And obviously he's missed a couple of games due to injury. And in two out of three games where he plays, he gets a heavy workload and he's worth playing. But we got to see more of May to see any value in him or any pass catchers.
All right. And then final question, if you're in Survivor, and I believe you still are, Todd, if I'm not mistaken, who's your pick this week?
This is a week, Gil, am I wrong? You can get a little creative with the Jaguars second week in Jacksonville going against May in his second start. If Flacco starts for the Colts, anti-Dolphins, if the Rams get back Cooper Kupp, you know, do we play game theory here or do we safely go with your Commanders as an anti-Carolina play?
Oh, man, if you got the Commanders, that might be the way to go. Todd, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gil.
Todd Wright, everybody. Coming back with Paul Spohr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for some action? Our friends at FirstBet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at FirstBet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to FirstBet.com today. Gil Alexander, numbers game, live from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas. My next guest, I asked him moments ago, why are you wearing that Florida Marlins hat? Because, you know, the Marlins, this just in, they're not alive in the postseason. They weren't even in the postseason at all. And he responded to me, because it's dope. It's Paul Spohr, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, you can follow him on Twitter at Spohr. He writes for Fangraphs and, of course, is the host of the Sleeper and the Bust podcast. What's happening? Joining us from Austin, Texas. Look at that. Florida Marlins. Old school.
I'm telling you, it looks dope. So that's why I had to wear it. You know, obviously bummed about my Tigers, but felt like I had to break the streak of wearing the Tigers hat because you had acknowledged that I'd worn it several episodes in a row because they were still alive in the playoffs. Heartbreaking loss Saturday, but amazing run. I could not be happier about everything the team did this year.
Yeah, you beat me to it. That was what I was going to ask about. You feel good about it in the end.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. You know, I don't live in the binary when the World Series or the season was bad. And obviously that would not be the case for a team like the Tigers, but even the top end teams like Dodgers or in this, you know, maybe the Orioles fans are maybe feeling some of that. And it's like, I get it. They had another disappointment too, but like, I can't go through what is essentially, first, it's really a year-long grind for me. Baseball never stops. But even if you're not on it all year, I can't go through 6-7 months of this to have it come down to one series of five games and then say that it was a failure or a waste of my time and leave angry with it. So I really hope that the fans of the teams that are losing in the playoffs are at least acknowledging that their squad had a great season, even if they fall short. Like a team like the Dodgers, like I said, they have the highest expectation. The Yankees, those fans get angry when they don't win the World Series. But for me, it's just not a binary of World Series or bust. I think that's a stupid way to follow sports, to be honest.
You're a Giannis Antetokounmpo guy.
Absolutely.
Remember that his press conference where he went crazy on the not crazy, but in his own way went crazy on the report.
And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Again, it's just I hate that sports culture. And I don't think, you know, some people say, oh, it's a loser mentality. No, it's not. If the only one team wins, it just cannot be that all 29 teams did nothing that year and had no positivity. I refuse to live in that world.
It's funny because we had Rufus Peabody, who's maybe the most successful sports better mm-hmm. of his generation. We had him on the Megapod, which we're there to talk NFL. But the one sort of fanhood that he holds on to is he loves the Baltimore Orioles. And that last game, he just went crazy on Twitter talking about, you know, the managing of that team. And he's more a believer that it was a managerial failure than it was a front office one. But on the Megapod, we got off on this side tangent about, you know, he is fine with the Orioles not unloading players at the trade deadline to try to, incrementally, he believes it's just an incremental advantage to win a World Series. I grew up an Orioles fan. I find that fascinating. I think it's a fascinating discussion because, you know, that fan base was starved for so, I mean, obviously when we were kids, they were great, but that fan base modern day has been starved. They had some horrible seasons and they tried to do a sort of Houston Astros thing. But Rufus, as a fan, he's kind of, it's like a cousin of what you're saying. He is okay. His whole point was, I just want hope as a fan. Like he puts hope.
Right, exactly.
He values hope more than actual championships, basically.
It's so hard to win the championship. You have to, right? You want to live in a window. And then how many rings did you get? And like, it obviously started back with Atlanta when they only got the one during their run. But if you're going to tell me that that's not a successful run because they only got one ring, I think you're kind of an idiot. I'm sorry. I just really do. Like, it cannot just be ring or not. And with the way we've gone. With regards to Baltimore, though, I will say, if you have a deep enough system, I do think you start to look to make those trades.
Me too.
I wish they'd have gotten a bit of a bigger pitcher at the deadline. And I say that even as a Trevor Rogers guy, I was gassing that move up, saying like maybe they've got some plans for him the way Houston did for Kikuchi. Obviously it didn't work out, but they've had a couple mediocre deadlines now. They still need, if they're not going to re-sign Burns, they need two pitchers. Even if they re-sign Burns, they still need another to go with them. They still need pitching, but the window is opening and it's very bright in Baltimore.
Yeah, I disagreed with Rufus on it, but I think it's a fascinating disagreement. And he would, by the way, just to be fair to him, he would object with my characterization of he values hope over World Series. His point is that making those deals does not necessarily increase your chances that dramatically.
And I get that.
Yeah.
Don't burn the future for the now when what you might do in the now with a deadline trade doesn't necessarily help your chances that much.
Yeah.
Right. But I still think going out and getting a Crochet, like paying up for him or somebody on that caliber. The tough part was the best pitcher like freely available that on a fair trade deal was Flaherty. And how are they going to go back to that? Well, I know he was completely different this year than last year, but think about how badly he flopped with them. It'd be kind of hard to bring him back a second deadline, right?
I don't know. You know, on the other, it's like someone pointed out the Rangers traded prospects to get Aroldis Chapman. They probably don't win the World Series without Chapman. Does anybody care that they
same
traded
the
prospects,
Cubs.
Right?
Same guy. Right. Gleyber Torres and Cole Reagans,
yeah.
Both traded for Chapman.
That's
both
right.
Those teams won.
Yeah.
If you win, it doesn't matter. But then if you don't, that's where it becomes tough, though. Right.
Yeah. But
because imagine if they didn't win, they're stuck with Chapman. Well, they don't even have Chapman because now he's in Pittsburgh and they don't have Reagans.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes tough. And you don't know going in that they're going to win. I guarantee you, if they didn't win the World Series, we'd be hailing them for that Reagans move.
Yeah. But the object, and I always say this sort of, you know, joking, as I lean in for this, the object is to win the World Series, right? But
that is true.
It was fascinating to me that he's like, no, I want hope. Hope is why I'm a fan. Hope. I was like, that's pretty interesting. So let's get to tonight's game. You're wearing the Marlins hat, by the way, matching beautifully with the Wiener Dog sweatshirt, which is a tribute to his dog, Charlotte, who has vomited on this very program before. Not due to the content, right. The Marlins are interesting because I just brought up earlier, Cleveland plays New York tonight. Yankees have a 1-0 lead in this series by virtue of their win last night, which was just a wild pitch fest at one point in this game. The Yankees win it 5-2, and they are -175 favorites tonight. It's Garrett Cole going up against Tanner Bibee in game two tonight in the Bronx. And I did bring up the Marlins Yankees in 2003. And the reason I did so was because when the Yankees get deep into a postseason, and they often do get when they are in a postseason, they often do get to the championship series at a minimum.
Right.
The lines tend to really start to get inflated, right? There is a Yankees curve to this stuff. And as great as Cole was in his last outing, aren't we getting a little too high in this matchup here?
Way too high for this one. And I'm not like a Cole hater at all. I'm quite a big fan of Garrett Cole. But yeah, I'm looking at this number askance this morning thinking, am I missing something? Did somebody go out? Did Cade Smith, leave the team, their premium reliever? Because they didn't use him yesterday. They used him in every Tigers game, but now he's got a few days off. So you can guarantee that he's pitching. I don't think they used any of Smith, Gattis, Clase. So even if Bibee doesn't come correct, short of him getting crushed, though, like let's say he can go four innings but gets in a little bit of trouble and it's like 2-1 when he leaves, the Cleveland's down, they're going to run out all their relief aces. I really like their chances tonight to tie it up because they have not used their best. Meanwhile, Luke Weaver's almost certainly not available for the Yankees after an inning and two thirds yesterday. So bullpens is where I'm going to go first in any of these playoff games, especially as a one-off. And I think Cleveland's set up nicely to get the split in New York, just the way the Mets did yesterday in LA.
Yeah, I'm seeing +150 now where I'm looking. That's a bet for me. You got it. I was waiting to see +150. I'm in. I'm in on the Guardians tonight at Yankee Stadium game two. What about game three? The Mets take a 6-0 lead yesterday early against the Dodgers. It holds up. It did get dicey a couple times. Kike had a couple shots at it with runners on base, and he could not cash in. And the Mets hold on for the win. They even up the best of seven NL Championship Series at one game apiece. Tomorrow it is Bueller against Severino. Bueller with a north of 5 ERA. And
north
yet
of 10, Gil.
What's that? I'm sorry?
North of 10 in the playoffs.
North of 10 in the playoffs. That's right. The Mets are the slightest of favorites. This is virtually a coin flip. It's -108 on the Mets. That seems kind of low, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think Bueller still draws a name. And then I wonder if we see some of what you said with the Yankees, with the Dodgers as well, where the numbers, as we get deeper, they start to get more credit than maybe they deserve, right? Because it's a good team. I respect the Dodgers, but I don't know. I don't know that I see this as really a coin flip. I've got a little edge for the Mets here. I feel pretty good about them going home. They held on. Like you said, it got a little dicey. And you know that's going to happen, right? It was 6-0 after two. You knew there was little chance to keep the Dodgers scoreless throughout. So they made a push, but they used all their best relievers yesterday ahead of the off day. That's the beauty of it. They're going to have, I would imagine all three of them should at least be available for an inning tomorrow as well. Stanek, Maton, and Edwin Diaz. So I like the setup there. We just can't trust Bueller right now. The thing of it is, if you don't like the Mets for some reason, then it's a stay away, because I cannot confidently put my money on Bueller right now, because he can leave you down 5-0 immediately type vibe. I think the floor is just way too low for somebody like Bueller in these playoffs.
I'm with you. Last question. Adjusted series price on the Guardians down a game, +280. Adjusted series price on the Mets at 1-1, +135. What's the more enticing bet?
Probably the guards, because I feel so good about them tonight. Then, I'm getting ahead of the potential tie there when that price would come down, probably something similar to the Mets. Obviously it hinges on them winning tonight and getting home field back. But yeah, I think I would go with the guards there and take that shot. This bullpen doesn't quit, and they've got that sort of offense where they kind of pass the baton. Ramirez is the dude, but then on any other day, it could be anybody like stupid Lane Thomas.
All right, Paul, appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Gil.
College football guessing lines next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, top of the hour after a numbers game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. Stormy will have Jeff Schwartz with her once again today. Two in a row with Jeff Schwartz. That'll be followed by Prop Points with John Hansen from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, then Make It Rain with Adam Schein. That's from 3 to 4 right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from JT at Speed to Burn 725. He said, Kelly, I was listening to your MVP analysis in my car, and I was literally laughing out loud. Great stuff. Could you recap of that for us again?
Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league. He's really good. And then
you didn't even say best quarterback. You just said he's really good.
Yeah, he's really good. Josh Allen, second best, also really good, just a notch behind. So he's second on the odds.
Those, by the way, those are the clips we're going to use for best of Vaysen today.
That's right. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, also really good, but falls number three.
All right, I think we get the idea. Statlogic Sports at G Loves Winning. Mr. Gilly, with all due respect, you and I both know that the Commodores are never the easy safe play at any contest. Oh, yeah, I didn't say it. Todd did.
Oh, yeah. There was a little bell that rang in my ears when that was dropped, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they'll get it done, but I hear what you're saying. Joe C714, I agree with your guest, Paul Spohr. Dodgers and Lakers fan here. Oh, you're one of those. While all my friends will be championship or bust, I'm more online with just give me as much entertainment as possible, and I'm happy. There you go.
Okay.
You were not a fan of the Giannis lashing out at the reporter. Remember that one? He goes,
hey, yeah.
So if I don't win the championship, that means the whole season was a failure?
I don't know. You know I'm a huge Giannis fan. Yes, that was weird, though.
Respect the process. Loves Spore Savage. He goes, best guess lingo ever. If he doesn't come correct or type vibe, my guy, respect. Yeah, come correct was like a big thing that was said in the 80s a lot. I love that Spore uses that. You better come correct. And let's see, Brian Young says, I'm hoping that Jaden Daniels' odds for Rookie of the Year turn like Paul Skeens. Hey, how dare you? Odds on favorite, then to plus money. Got Skeens. Oh, he's trying to say because then he wants to pick it up again. Couple more good games by Caleb. It could happen. It could.
I think it's an interesting conversation because it's back in betting range, but there's a long season to go. You could easily get that.
And this just in, we still don't know who's going to win between Skeens and Merrill. We have no idea.
Wake me up in January.
Right about Thanksgiving,
right before first pitch of spring training,
kind of thing. Major League Baseball just marinating it. All right, time for our G Bank best bets of the day. G Bank, the official bank of VSiN. You ready to do this?
Yeah, let's roll through. But we're starting with you. We're starting with our NFL bets that we made yesterday after guessing lines. Then you've got one for today too.
I have from guessing lines yesterday. For those who were keen observers, I actually liked a lot again for like the third straight week, which has served me well, right? 8-2 the last 2 weeks. I love the Patriots +6, jumped on that immediately on the show. Love the Niners -1.5 against the Chiefs. I don't really get that. I get it. Patrick Mahomes could win. Nobody would be surprised, but I don't know why that's lower than 3. Packers -2.5 in their game against the Texans. Anything below 3, I loved there. And then the Lions at +2.5 against the Vikings. Drew sort of echoed it today, which is I don't know that I care that much about home field. I think the Lions are a better football team. Thank you. I'll take points. So I got 4, and then I just added the Guardians. Once it got to +150 this morning, I'm sorry. To quote the great Kelly Bidlin, but that's, look, I get it. It's Garrett Cole. But the Guardians are a solid baseball team. They should not be +150 in this game.
I like it. I might actually end up tailing you on that one for a little baseball action on a Tuesday.
There is a Yankees tax that happens in these postseasons. Yeah. I go back to that 2003 World Series because it has a special place in my personal sports betting history. It was sort of the first time that I confidently knew to just pound the dog over and over and over and over again. That's over 20 years ago now, right?
There was young Kelly Bidlin in the stands for one of those games.
Josh Beckett and the Marlins.
That's right.
It was fantastic. And they just kept coming back +190 every game. I'm like, stop with this. Give me this. And the Marlins was one of the great upsets in modern day baseball history. Yours, sir.
Yeah, only 2 for me so far. Lions and Bills teaser on opening lines, but numbers are just about the same, if not better. Actually, Bills kind of got re-released at about 8 most books this morning, so you could get that down to 2. Like you just mentioned, you had the Lions at 2.5. That got out to 2.5 yesterday, so you can get a better teaser than I made on the openers. I might be adding to that position. 49ers money line, I bet then. Couple others I've got my eye on. Cardinals, I have a feeling I'm going to loop into a teaser as well, and let or just play them taking 3. As far as guests today, Drew Dinsick, Lions money line for him coming up in week 7 of the NFL. Patriots plus 6 as well. 49ers money line. So he is very,
Drew,
very,
we are super aligned.
Yeah, we're like that. The Giants plus 3, which I can't argue with. The only thing I'll throw out there is shop around, because there are a couple 3.5s still out there if you're interested in getting in on that side. As far as the great Will Hill, gave us a Jets plus 650 to win the AFC East. Mets money line tomorrow, and then Bybee under 12.5 outs today.
All right. G-Bank, best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. The G-Bank Visa signature card is your best bet, delivering 1% cash back rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cash back rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSIN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the segment you've all been waiting for. College football guessing lines with Kelay Bidelon.
And there you go.
It goes a little something like this.
Like all right, we're just going to keep rolling.
All right.
There we go. I don't know what my season records are right now, but 1-2 last week.
Did I put the crew in a bad position? Did I go from G-Bank to college football guessing lines thinking that could happen that quickly, back-to-back?
Hey, you know what? It sounds like a good question for our post-show meeting.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know the answer to that.
That might have been me setting them up for failure. I take full responsibility. College Football Guessing Lines, the show, ladies and gentlemen, that was born out of Kelly Bidlin's. Kelly Bidlin, who knows his sports. This man knows his sports. He knows his NBA. He knows his golf. He knows his football. Pro football. College football, not so much. But what we have found is that in that little that sort of quirk that he doesn't know much about college football, because, again, this started when he asked me about a spread. And I said quickly before a segment, I said 14. And he goes plus or minus, which indicated to me that he knew nothing about anything. And yet here we are. So this could be comical. Guessing college football lines. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. What we got first?
Maybe the marquee matchup. Alabama at Tennessee. I will call it the marquee matchup. Alabama at Tennessee.
All right. Bama. 9-1, last 10 against Tennessee. If you want to go historical trends, Tennessee looking pretty good this year so far. 5-2 ATS. Yeah, interesting coming in, though, with both these teams, right, Gil? You've got Bama off that narrow win over South Carolina, the loss versus Vandy. Tennessee struggling, too, barely beats Florida, lost to Arkansas. So a little tough to figure out with two of the teams that were very highly ranked heading into the season, right? I made it Bama 3.5, laying 3.5. I feel like they're still going to be road favorites here, and over a field goal is where I'm going 3.5.
Man, was I wishing Bama lost that game to South Carolina.
Yeah, me too. I was watching the end of it as well.
Actual retail value from DraftKings is Alabama -3.
Really? All right, there we go.
Kelly Bidlin, guessing lines. Nicely done. All right, ready to go to the second one here?
Let's do it.
We move on, not quite as marquee, Michigan at Illinois. Illinois with the dramatic win against Purdue. Was it 50-49, I believe, this past weekend?
Yeah, they are, 5-1 on the season? Wow. Okay, head-to-head, last 10 matchups between these two teams. How about this little fun nugget for you? Illinois 2-8 straight up, but 7-3 ATS in this matchup against Michigan over the years. I thought that was pretty interesting. Michigan struggling to cover this year. Coming off a bye, though, I'm thinking the books are still power rating this team pretty high, so I'm going to go Michigan laying 6, a full 6 on the road at Illinois, at 5-1 Illinois.
Michigan -6 from Kelly Bidlin. Survey says Michigan -3.5. I knew you were off on that one.
That's not too bad.
What does that mean?
I mean, from 3.5 to 6.
Value on Michigan, according to Kelly Bidlin.
That's right. That's right.
Go blue.
Yeah, right. And slight value on Bama.
And slow. Well, yeah, not much, but slight. That's off a key. Mm-hmm. And then Georgia and Texas. Maybe I misspoke. Maybe this is the marquee matchup of the weekend. 5-1 Bulldogs against the undefeated Longhorns, U of T.
All right, I don't got much for you here. Both these teams have been awesome. Texas has been great. Ewers back now, right? Georgia. Here's where I'm struggling with. I can't, like, Georgia can't be a dog, right? They can't be a dog. So I wanted to pick them.
You sure about that?
Are they?
Texas pick them from Kelly. Texas -4. Damn right they're a dog.
Wow.
Texas -4.
Everybody's going to be betting Georgia plus points this week, right?
It feels that way.
When's the last time Georgia's been a dog in the regular season? That's probably a dumb question.
Here's the thing, though. Anytime, this is anecdotal, but anytime it feels like we have multiple experts, not just this show, but I'm talking network-wide, who are all on one side of a college football game, I don't have the stats on this, but it rarely, it rarely seems to work out. So if that's the case, if everybody's on Georgia, you know, take that into consideration. Thank you, Kelly. Well done.
Thank you.
We should get a sponsor.
We should. We should.
College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Pitlin. We've done all we can do. Stormy is next on Money Moves with Jeff Schwartz. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.